I was going to share just a couple of minutes about what we're doing in Canberra, and just to give you a bit of an update. A lot of people have been, maybe a few have been asking, you know, what's going on, what's happening. Well, Kaz mentioned our particular ministry with international students. We really felt when we first came to Canberra that that's who we would connect with. And we were thinking of probably the Chinese, the Indian, the East Asian international community in Canberra. But we connected with a Papua New Guinea couple who were connected here many years ago, then went to Condobolin and then Brewarrina in New South Wales as a missionary couple from Bethel Centre in Papua New Guinea. Anyway, they ended up in Canberra. We connected with them, and they're real gatherers, you might remember if you've been around for a while. Moses and Kari, they are a great couple. And before we knew it, half the church ended up being Papua New Guinean, which is incredible. And so we're really blessed to have Moses and Kari on deck. They call Moses and Kari Uncle Moses and Auntie Kari, so they're very well respected in the PNG community. There's about 850-900 Papua New Guineans in Canberra. And we have had a door open to minister in the High Commission, to minister to students that have become very sick, to transport them. We've led praise and worship. We've led International Days of Prayer and Repentance in Papua New Guinea. It's an actual public holiday, the National Day of Prayer and Repentance in the major capital cities in Australia. They have an actual day where they pray, and they've invited us in. And so we lead the prayer of the High Commission. We've also been invited at other times where there's been people from every embassy in Canberra turn up at a function at the High Commission. We've met some people, ambassadors, also people from the Prime Minister's Department. So that's just one area that God has opened up for us, which we never really expected. Going to Canberra was a whole culture shock for us, in a sense. We thought, well, it's just a bigger Narrandera, isn't it? Canberra, is that right? Yeah, absolutely. So we went there, but the whole language is different. You know, they have words like KPIs and SOPs, and if you know what they are, Kaz has been educating me in KPIs, key performance indicators, stakeholder engagement. Do you know, understand what that is? I mean, it's all this kind of lingo that they use in Canberra. Sarah is smiling there. She knows exactly what all this is. You know, standard operating procedures. And so we're getting our head, and Kaz has got a head around that already, but I'm still learning. I'm a slow learner. And so it's been very, very interesting being in Canberra. We are meeting at Dixon. We really felt to meet at Dixon. And I know when Ben and myself first came in, because Ben was with us for the first number of months, and 15 to 18 months or so, and we walked into a particular place at Dixon, which is a Majura Community Centre, which is a government ACT community-run centre, which is open for hire. So we then began to hire that place. But you know, Dixon is an incredibly tough place. You know, it's called the gateway to Canberra. It's a gateway of where the Federal and the Barton Highway meet. I had never known that, and someone brought it to my attention. It's a place where I think as a highest percentage of international students live in Dixon and the cluster of suburbs where we do church. We hadn't known that either, but it's quite amazing that our heart was to reach out to international students. So we have been doing, just a quick testimony, I suppose. We have been doing some prayer walking. We have a Tuesday morning prayer meeting at our place in Belconnen. And so we jump in the van and then we take our prayers into Dixon, and we've been doing some prayer walking. I don't know whether you're familiar with the CFMEU on the ABC National News. Only a couple of years ago they had the Australian Federal Police storm that union office because of the corruptness there. Well, that head office is right where we do church. Not in the same building, but just probably 40 paces, just over a little laneway. And as we were prayer walking, we really felt to stand before that head office and pray. And we just felt led to pray for a certain number of things. And look, you know, as far as whatever your position is on unionism, you know, has its, you know, its benefits, and its, you know, but there's some people that are in there that are really quite corrupt, and a spirit of intimidation, and all that kind of thing. We prayed there. Well, look, within a very, very short few days, I get a phone call from ACT Planning. And the guy says, oh, look, I'm the assistant to the minister of ACT, you know, planning or whatever. And I said, oh, yes. And he said, you're Pastor Mark? I said, yes. He said, oh, I just want to inform you that the CFMEU are moving out. They're closing shop. I'm going, praise the Lord. No, I didn't say that. I went, he must have saw us praying. He must have saw the group of us, you know, standing in front, you know. But no, he said, because you're a long-term tenant of the community hall, we just want to inform everybody that their lease is finished and they're moving out of the area and they're closing shop in that office, and we're actually doing some public housing in that whole area. And I'm thinking, wow, that's an answer to prayer. Incredible, because where people are and where people congregate, there is an actual spirit. They have influence. Now, without becoming over-spiritual, you know, that is a very significant union organisation, and now they're no longer where we have doing church in that particular area. So we thought, well, let's do it again. And so what we did was, a couple of weeks after, we jumped in the van on Tuesday morning, we went down to Dixon, and we went for a bit further of a walk. And look, I don't want to offend anybody, but there's a Kingdom Hall, which is a Jehovah's Witness, the biggest Kingdom Hall in Canberra, which is at Dixon. And so we walked around that. We're claiming the land and we're possessing the territory and all that sort of thing. And within about 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks after that, I get a letter from Northside, Pastor Mark, Momentum Canberra, and it was a real estate, LJ Hooker. Have a guess what it was? A building up for sale, but it wasn't a Dixon, it was another Jehovah's Witness building down in Hughes. Now you might think, well, that's just a coincidence, or that's okay, but there is one Kingdom Hall that's closed down. I really believe, and I know that's probably been in the planning for a long time, but God really confirmed to us that there is power in prayer. And I really want to encourage you, don't become over-spiritual, but just be faithful. Ian, I want to just honour you for your faithfulness in praying for us in Momentum Canberra. You know, and I know that when I've connected, you've said, you know, we're praying for Momentum. I've connected with Dom and, hey, we're still praying. How's it going? Can I just say thank you for praying for us in Momentum Canberra? Really want to honour you for your prayer. We wouldn't be where we are today. And what God is doing and the doors that God has opened for us. With the radio station, you know, we started to sow with the little radio spot that Ben had put together with us. We have a number of little two-minute radio spots. Well, I have about another 300 or something to record, which I haven't got to, in our walk-in wardrobe at home. That's our recording studio because it's great acoustics in a walk-in wardrobe. But I've got to get back into that and do some more. But what God has opened up for us in Canberra at the Christian Community Radio is that we've got a Brendan, whom you know, our 1331. Now, Brendan is a regular on the radio station. They've invited him in. He has interviews. He and Susie have both been interviewed because of the run with the area of men's mental health. So God has opened that door for him. And also with another kind of radio spot that he does. We have another young African guy whom we met walking around the lake one day when we first arrived in Canberra. And he invited us into his church, which was a Nigerian church. And we spoke at youth groups and youth rallies. And we've had a fairly big input. We've spoken at the university of a student meeting that they held. Well, this young guy is actually moving to Canada next year with his wife, who was the daughter of the ambassador, the Nigerian ambassador to Canberra. Well, he's a part of our church now, and he actually runs a Sunday afternoon one-hour radio spot with a couple of other people. So it's just interesting. As we sow, God opens up a territory for us beyond that which we could even believe or even imagine, beyond our wildest imagination. So there's just a couple of things. Amen. Amen. Ian, just as we were worshiping the Lord this morning, I just had just felt a word, and I just felt the Lord say that He's going to, and again, I don't want to misuse words, but resurrect or bring back a gift that maybe have been lost over the years, and it's writing music. It's worship music. And the word that came to me, the scripture that came to me, was on the day of Pentecost, a sound from heaven came. A sound from heaven came. So I just really want to pray for you. Is that okay? But just extend your hand toward Ian. just really want to pray. I don't know where Ian's at as far as that whole music and worship, but there is a gift, and it needs to be restarted, rebooted, or recalibrated or something. Father, we just thank you for our brother Ian. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of God. And Lord, often sometimes the gift can lay latent inside. And we just want to, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, just bring to life in Jesus' name, the power of Jesus' name. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to just resurrect and Lord, come alive again in Ian, within his heart, within his spirit, quicken his understanding. We thank you for the words and the melody, Lord, the sound from heaven to be released within his spirit. And Lord, there would be worship songs. Lord, there would be choruses. There would be hymns. Lord, there would be devotional songs that would bless the people of God, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. Lord, would be beneficiaries of that gift again, Lord, coming to life within Ian. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. Amen. A sound from heaven, Acts chapter 2. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Were you ready for the word this morning? Amen. Amen. Preachers always need a bit of encouragement, okay? I said to Kaz, I'm feeling really nervous. You know, it's as much as we've been over a few times and we've done some funeral services, to preach again on a Sunday, I'm feeling really, really nervous. So help me out, won't you? How's Hillsong going, Jake? Great. Bless you. Great to hear your great news from Sydney. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence and your person and your power to open our ears, to open our eyes, for you have a word for us today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen, that's good. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I want to just read a short passage to you. It is a Christmas message. I did share this only a week or two ago, and I just thought I would just re-look at it and share it with you guys. Matthew chapter 1, 8, starting at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, but not wanting to make a public example of Mary, was considering to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a miracle. You know, there's a lot of stuff happening around Christmas time, isn't there? You know, the Christmas season, the commercialization of Christmas, you know, when we could sort of get into a negative kind of thinking and we could, you know, try and wave the fist and say, you know, it's wrong and all that. But, you know, kind of like, I don't mind Christmas. I love it. Love going to the mall and the Christmas decorations. And in fact, we saw a little guy busking, you know, juggling some balls the other day, and a security guy came up to him and was trying to move him on. And he's been doing it every year since we can remember being in Canberra. And I was not only going to go up to him, but I had the girls with me, and I thought, I don't want to get into a fight with a security guy. He might ban me, and I won't be able to go to the Cherry Bean for a coffee. So I thought, no, I can't do that. But we love Christmas, you know, where Jesus is honored. You know, as much as people may not know him personally, at least he's spoken of. And there is a focus, and there is a concentration about Jesus. You know, and look, with all the pamphlets and the catalogs and the shopping and the posters and all that kind of stuff, it's funny that it happens around Christmas, but it's kind of nice. At the same time, it's good for us to have a good heartfelt checkup and to bring our focus and to recalibrate our priorities personally about Christmas. Regain and address those things. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she receives a fair bit of airplay, gets a fair bit of attention. But I want us to have a look at Joseph this morning. And I wonder if Joseph had realized the implications of such a pregnancy, such a birth, and such a baby, as in Jesus, whether or not he would have, you know, changed his attitude or his approach to how he would have handled the whole situation, because he was going to put Mary away. He was going to say, Mary, no more. I can't have anything more to do with you, when he found out that she was pregnant. If he had known that Jesus' birth set in motion such an incredible historical chain reaction of events that had never been seen or heard since creation. Seriously. I wonder whether he would have put Mary away. Or would he have just said to himself, hey, this is amazing, Mary. You're with child. This is incredible. And I know you haven't been with any man before. So this whole pregnancy thing just must have been of God. It's a miracle. And now I get to play a part and become some kind of superhero and partner with the purposes of God. This is great. Did Joseph say that? Of course not. Mate, it must have blown him away, what he was experiencing. He didn't say, wow. I think he said, oh. He really had no idea of the worldwide future implications. You know, the religious and the political and the social implications of this birth, of this child. He did not understand. If we were to know in detail everything that God has purposed for us in the future, you know, we'd get cold feet. You know, I said to Kaz only a little while back, I think, you know, if we had known, you know, the what we were coming into in Canberra, I wonder whether we would have made that step. And often God protects us. He only gives us enough information for one step at a time. Just one step. And He speaks to us, and through His grace and His wisdom and His kindness, He only gives us just enough information. So this man Joseph, let's have a look at that. I've got my first slide up. Have you got that? Joseph, I've called this a very good man. A very good man. What are some of the standout features of Joseph? Let's have a look at him concerning his heart and his life and his attitude and his responses to just life challenges that he was experiencing. This young tradie carpenter from Nazareth, he had enough in him. There was enough in him to bring forth God's marvelous plan through the birth of God's Son. To nurture, to provide, and to grow this child, a baby Jesus, into a young man. And he wasn't perfect by any means, because nobody is. He wasn't over-spiritual. He wasn't overly gifted. He wasn't from, you know, any of the most noble in the community, or the high echelons of, you know, the Jewish society. But there was something significant about him that brought about destiny. And God noticed that he had in his heart what was needed. So what did he have in him? What and how did Joseph position himself to be used by God in this way? So this is kind of Christmas through the lens of godly character. And I've just got 4 points this morning. 4 C words. And God is more concerned about our character than anything else in our life. I want you to hear that. God is more concerned about our character, about our heart, and how we respond to life's challenges than anything else. Johnny Erickson, you may have heard about her, read or heard her story, her testimony. She became a paraplegic or quadriplegic, and a conference speaker, author. And she says this: God is more concerned with conforming me into the likeness of His Son than leaving me in my comfort zone. God is more interested in the inward qualities than outward appearance. Things like refining my faith, humbling my heart, cleaning up my thought life, and strengthening my character. What an amazing quote. And she's got the runs on the board. Okay, so what did Joseph's character, what was this man, what did his character epitomize. Number one, conviction. He had a conviction or a confidence of trust in God. It was one of trust, even though he didn't understand. What an extraordinary situation he finds himself in. You know, trying his best to be honorable as a fiancé, someone engaged to be married, trying to be as chaste as he can. And he must have thought, what on earth is happening? This cannot be true. How did this young woman become pregnant? I don't understand. How did he realize that she was pregnant? Well, what happens when someone gets pregnant? It's kind of like they begin to show, don't they? You know, the tummy bulge. So did he recognize that? And what was he thinking when he saw that? Because he knew he wasn't the one. He wasn't the man. How far along was her pregnancy? And he made the decision to put her away. And to put her away wasn't because he was punishing her. It wasn't because it was a vindictive spirit. It was because he wanted to protect her. But somehow there had to be a trust in God. He didn't want to publicly humiliate her. So to break off the engagement quietly. You know, it's often in the questions that we have, when we are faced with challenges or we experience tragedy, it's not, the answer's not in those questions, but the answer comes because we just trust when we haven't got an answer. When we haven't got an answer, that's when faith is refined. That's when faith becomes stronger within us. That's where faith grows. Faith is often not a one event experience in our lives, but rather it's from faith to faith. It's for like a building block. It's like a brick in a building. It's one brick and another brick and another brick. It's one experience. It's one step and another step. Faith is a lifelong experience. It's not just one event and it all happens. That's a different dimension of faith. Faith growing. Here's a trusted proverb in Solomon. Solomon shared this proverb. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. One of our students in Papua New Guinea got breast cancer, and she didn't know. She was feeling very sick, and she just had her husband and her four little kids come to Canberra to live, and we hadn't seen her come to church. And I just remember saying to Kaz, we've got to follow up Rose. Got to follow up Rose. Beautiful lady, very quiet. Was connected with a CRC church in PNG and then another church, and she started coming. And so then we found out she got very sick. She went to the doctor and they diagnosed breast cancer. And they said, you've only got a week to live. It was so far progressed. And because our PNG community are so hardy, they're so tough, you know, she thought she would just last this sickness out, whatever it was, and she didn't know she had breast cancer. I got a phone call from some of the ladies that work at the High Commission. They said, Mark, can you come to Calvary Hospital? Because Rose is very, very sick. And the PNG and the Pacific Islander student body have met together, and we want you to come. I said, look, please ask the husband if it's okay that I do come, and I'm happy to come. So I came. There's about 30 people in a big, big room, and there's Rose. She's unconscious, and she's very, very sick. And the kids are crying, and they got in a big circle, and they said, now Pastor Mark's going to bring a word. What do you say? I said, Lord, you've got to give me something. And he said, when the wind blows out of nowhere, and a storm brews up, and people have questions and they become fearful, tell them to lean into me. When they have questions and they don't understand, lean into me. So I shared, and I said, I have this word. I just want to share it with you. As we held hands around Rose's bedside, and I shared this word. And you know, the picture I got was at the Last Supper. And all the disciples around Jesus. And Jesus is saying, someone is going to betray me. And John was right next to Jesus. And the Bible says that John leant into Jesus' breast. and asked him, "Who is it, Lord?" And Peter is nudging John and saying, "Ask Jesus, ask Jesus." They had questions they didn't understand, but John leant into Jesus. So I shared this with the folk there. And I said, we've got to lean into Jesus when we don't understand. Lean into him. As Solomon said in this proverb, trust in the Lord. Come on, trust in him with all of your heart. Don't lean into your own understanding, but rather, I'm changing the words here, lean into him. Just lean. Just a little bit. Just tilt. Just lean into the breast of Jesus. And Jesus whispered back to John and clarified, had an answer. Leaning into Jesus, you hear the beat of his heart. You'll hear his still small voice, his whisper. So Joseph had a conviction of trust and he leaned into God. Number two, I'm just going to move pretty quickly here, time's getting away. Number two, consecration. Joseph had a consecrated heart. We could use the word chaste, that's an old-fashioned word. To be chaste, it's used in the area of sexual immorality. When you are chaste, you are sexually moral. In other words, your thought life, your responses to the society and the generation in which we live. There's another word that we could use, sanctification. We cannot deny these verses in Scripture that really admonish us and encourage us and challenge us to live a chaste life as a people of God. Now, this is not a heavy in any way at all, because all of us have made mistakes or we've made dumb choices along the way. But how about we start today? How about today? From now on, we could ask ourselves, yeah, how about today I take on what God might be speaking into my heart? Joseph didn't play around with the worldly, fleshy ways that he could have. But to live a godly life was more important to Joseph. To be consecrated. When you consecrate something, you actually make it sacred. You make it holy. So the word sanctification means that we are literally set apart for God's purposes. To be different. To live holy before Him and before the world. In this sex-crazed age in which we live, it's just so easy to get caught up and what we listen to, and what we see, and what we become involved in. Here we see Joseph. He understood this principle of living a pure life. And I'm not talking about perfection, but he made a decision. Once he clearly understood God's purposes, was to live a life honorable and right before God. That set his compass. In Matthew chapter 1:25, it says this, but Joseph, he did not have intimate relationships with Mary until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you have a Bible, you can turn here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 8. The New Living Translation says this, God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion, like the pagans do, who do not know God or his ways, and don't harm or cheat another fellow believer in this matter, in violating another person. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has not called you to live unholy lives, but to live holy lives, not to be impure. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives the Holy Spirit to you. I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit. I need as much as I can get of Him in my life to do what He's called me to do. I don't want to grieve Him or hurt Him or offend him. Joseph totally relinquished what displeased God. and he embraced what pleased him. Dwight L. Moody, great author, speaker, many decades ago said this, "Character is what a man is in the dark. Character is what a man is when the lights are out." That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Number three, consideration. Joseph possessed in his heart a considerate kindness. He had a caring for others, preferring others before himself. He was willing to protect another, even at the expense of his own reputation. How about that? There was a willingness to sacrifice, to give himself even when it cost him, to give up even what he wanted, and to give out for himself what he had, the best that he could, to bless somebody else. He really harnessed in his heart a consideration of others. He was protective of Mary. He covered for her, even in an irrational season that did not make sense. Even when he didn't understand all of what was happening, he covered for Mary. And it was a naturally difficult time in their lives. Look, they were engaged to be married. I mean, even just getting married is a hassle. I mean, it's a blessing, isn't it? But the preparation, you know, just the flowers. Remember the flowers we had in here? I chased every rose grower in Narendra to fill this place up with flowers. So with Joseph and Mary, just their planning, and then this happens. Go figure. How many men would have downed tools and run? It's too hard. Take off. How many men have done that? Of the stories that we've heard. Joseph was a good man. He was a just man. And he deeply loved his bride-to-be. And he wasn't covering up. He was certainly looking rather to cover her, to protect her from embarrassment and public humiliation. Because if a young woman was found pregnant and not married, stoned. That Eastern culture in that time and setting, that's what would have happened. But this courageous kindness cost him his personal reputation and his character being scrutinized and even scandalized. What a man he was. Mary was very, very vulnerable because of the religious zealots who legally could have stoned her for adultery. But God was so good to reveal just another piece of the puzzle to Joseph. Isn't it good when you get a piece of the puzzle, fall in the right place? You don't understand. It's a hassle. Life is hard. There is a challenge. It's like we are faced with insurmountable odds. What do we do now? What direction do we go? How do we walk forward? How do we move forward? But God provided for Joseph. Because he had this kindness in his heart, he had such character, God revealed to him and gave divine instruction to him. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. So Joseph possessed a genuine thoughtfulness, and he considered others before himself. Enough said. Number four, our last point. Confirmation. Joseph postured himself, positioned himself and his heart for a confirmation of God. We need confirmation in our life. I think of David, and I just forget which psalm it is. I think Psalm 27, one that I mentioned, is one that I hold on to. Don't lose heart. Even when I could have lost heart, David said, and I think it was a time when it was a zigzag and all of his army, their wives and their children and their belongings were plundered by the enemy, and they came back to camp after warring a battle with the enemy, and everything was gone. And David said, I would have lost heart unless God had confirmed his goodness and his kindness to me in the land of the living. There is something about receiving something from God that is like it's real and it's tangible. It's like it's a sign or it's a signpost. It's a writing on the wall. It's a dream or it's a vision. Amazing. Can I just share another little quick testimony? When we first came to Canberra, a couple of years into Canberra, I had this dream, and I'd forgotten this dream, but it was, and again, I hope I'm not treading on any toes, but it was at the Masonic Lodge. I was walking past, and there was a very high profile local identity, high up in the Masonic Lodge. He was standing there with a very attractive woman. And as I walked past, he said, "Mark, come in, come in, come in." It was like he was trying to pull me in, "Come in, you know, come in." And he was saying other things too. I've just forgotten now. And I said, "No." You know what I said? I remember the words. I said, "I have to go to a prayer meeting. I have to go to a prayer meeting." And I walked on. But when that dream finished, little Chloe had a blood-curdling scream at the other end of the house. She screamed like all hell had broken loose. And we got up and we ran. And ran to Chloe, and she was breathing heavy, and she was, you know, teary, and she was upset, she was traumatized. And we tried to comfort her, and it wasn't happening. And I said, "Kaz, I've just had a dream. I've just remembered just only a couple of minutes ago I had a dream, and this was a dream." And so we got together in prayer, and we prayed. And we just stood against the spirit that was trying to infiltrate our home. And as we prayed, in Jesus' name, Chloe just fell asleep in Kaz's arms. Put it to bed. No issue, no problem. Isn't it amazing how God confirms to us? You know, when the enemy is about doing something, or we need some strategy, we need some direction, make prayer your first port of call. Amen? Maybe that's the lesson for us in that little experience we had. God confirmed to Joseph. He experienced a God event and received confirmation. And God confirmed his goodness and provision and purpose. And it was received with humility. Now, humility will always be a good posture and a magnet to God's grace and God's confirmation when we need it in our life. You know what it's like when you get a magnet, two magnets together? You know, the negative and the positive. And what happens? There's no way you can connect them. There's an invisible force that repels. Well, God hates pride. He hates pride. He hates the pride of man. And when a man has a proud heart, it repels anything that God could bring into his life. Rather, embrace and cultivate a humble heart, humility. Not somebody that has all the answers. Not somebody that always wants to bring his opinion. But be teachable. Have a listening ear. Humble your hearts. God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. Joseph must have been pretty relieved, as he was very serious in his consideration. He was. He was going to cut ties with Mary, with his fiancée. But God stepped in and he rescued the situation. What about Mary? Right now at this time, as Joseph is considering cutting ties with her, she had kept herself for this one man, the love of her life, Joseph. And now she's got something happening. Through no fault of her own, now potentially going to be disgraced and abandoned. What faith she possessed, eh? Didn't she? When the angel Gabriel came to her, and that's all she had. It was one little word. You were going to be the mother of the Most High. And the child you are going to have is conceived of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Point blank. But how this man Joseph, we're coming to a close, responded in uncharted waters where there was no precedent. Ever. No precedent. Before. Seeking to protect this young lady was a marvelous act of chivalry. Come on, men. a marvellous act of chivalry. An unadulterated heart with pure motives always has a potential to be honoured by an intervention of God. This heart towards the Lord and others of trust, of purity and of thoughtfulness positioned him for a confirmation of God. A supernatural grace was just waiting and knocking at the door to be released into their lives. So as we've had just a brief snapshot into the life of Joseph, let's learn from his brief exposure that we have in Scripture. And how about individually we embrace those qualities to be our Christmas this year? Christmas. Through this Christmas lens as we look at Joseph's character. Number one, a deep conviction of trust. Number two, keeping himself consecrated to live a pure life. Number three, being considerate and caring for others. And number four, God confirms to him, God will confirm to us. We can position ourselves for a supernatural encounter with God. You can. Would you like that? What's stopping you, what's stopping me from experiencing a Joseph Christmas? So it's been a worthy consideration to look at Joseph. Maybe you've never looked at him before. And here's just a final thought as we conclude. Joseph, in putting away Mary, he would have put aside Jesus. In making a decision to put away Mary, because he didn't know the whole story, he didn't understand or see the whole picture, he could have walked away from Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've got to continually remind myself that the life that I live is all about Jesus. If you're not living a life today that's all about Jesus, you're not living. It's got to be about Jesus. Our whole existence is that we live and move because of Him. Paul said this indescribable gift. Jeremy was talking about gifts under the tree. And when I think about gifts, they're things, they're a gift voucher. I got a voucher, JB Hi-Fi, for a new little speaker system for our TV. I've had one for 25 years and I thought it was about time we update, and I got the JB Hi-Fi gift voucher. But the presents and the gifts we receive, they're things. They're gift vouchers and they're, you know, gifts. The indescribable gift of Jesus is Him. Is Him, a person. He gives us Himself. How about we were to give ourselves as a gift instead of a thing or a box? And Paul said it's indescribable, this gift. Jesus is, you cannot find enough words to express what and who Jesus is. Instead of excluding her, he actually embraced Jesus. Joseph embraced Jesus and all that Jesus was. How about that? Let's connect, don't reject. Let's embrace, don't shun. Let's walk the path with others. Don't run away in the other direction. Who knows what God will do in their life and do in our life. When love opens a way and character is built and God confirms His good hand upon our life, there's always the favour and the goodness of God. Amen. If it's not straight away, we don't always see the whole picture. It's not instant. Well, let's patiently wait, but let's have a conviction of trust. Consecrate our lives. Consider others. And let's see the confirmation of God. And let's walk the journey with Him. Let's partner in the purposes of God. The choice Joseph made affected the destiny of countless millions upon millions of people. How about that for a testimony? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this man called Joseph. And Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to drop into our hearts what we need to embrace this morning. Holy Spirit, Can I just ask you to really sit quietly, if you can, just to really still your heart? What's happening in the darkness of your heart? What light needs to be turned on? And I'm not talking about the past per se so much as I'm talking about right now, right at this minute. What decision, what choice do you need to make to maybe consider a character like Joseph had? Holy Spirit, will you come? We ask you to come. Come into the deepest parts of our heart and our life. Please help us to reshuffle or reposition the furniture in our thinking. Help us to embrace all that you have for us. We want to be people of character. We don't want to be people who fall by the wayside. So we thank you right now for your hand upon our life. And we pray this in the name of the indescribable gift, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Again, I didn't want that to be in any way for people to feel condemned, but I want you to be encouraged. Forget about the past. You know, God knows the end from the beginning. It says He's doing a new thing. What new thing does God need to do in your life? But let's make a choice from today on, from this day forward.